We're recording that. Today is March 4th.
Yeah, I was going to try my tape deck here, too. There we go. Okay, so today is March 4th, and we're talking about Arya Davis, 400 verses. And we're looking at page 313, which is the topical outline, and seeing that we're this verse that we're on now is 107. You can see on the right-hand column on page 313 is the number 107. There is talking about the stanza or the verse and the verse number, and then we're talking about what's called the spirit of enlightenment. And well, in general, this is talking about the bodhisattva deeds. The bodhisattva is a person who is motivated by this spirit of enlightenment, this and in a spontaneous way, that he or she doesn't have to contrive it. It's uncontrived. It just always has this motivation for whatever the bodhisattva does. They always have this motivation preceding whatever they do, and the motivation is defined by Maitreya, the future Buddha, before he gave some teachings to an Indian teacher, and I guess he would say a visionary experience, but it's explained differently in the tradition, that Asanga actually went there and sat at his feet and heard these teachings. And so then he said that the definition of the spirit of enlightenment is wishing to attain perfect enlightenment for the sake of others. So you have two things there. You always have to keep in mind that you have your own purpose, which is you're going to become enlightened, but it's for the sake of others. And so it fulfills two purposes, it said. It fulfills the purposes of others as well as your own purpose, or aim, you could say, or goal, you could say like that. Fulfilling others' goals means, you know, helping them to fulfill their ultimate aim of becoming free of suffering. That's basically you're dedicated to freeing all beings from their suffering. And so the bodhisattvas got that kind of a motivation. That's their attitude, you can say, is probably better than motivation. Their constant attitude, whether they're awake or asleep. In their sleep, they're thinking like that. So that everything they do is for the sake of others. And but they practice a long time to because we're so so accustomed to being preoccupied with ourselves that they have to engage in these other-oriented practices, only thinking of others and giving to others and being, ethically disciplined for the sake of others, and then making joyous perseverance or for the sake of others, if you can say making, maybe you say joyously persevering for the sake of others, then these are all activities that a bodhisattva engages in. And it's always to try and develop this great concern where you're only thinking of others, you're only oriented towards others. And it takes many lifetimes to do that. At the same time, they're developing higher states of meditation and then using that kind of concentration to develop wisdom that, realizes or cognizes the way things actually are. And so these two practices of wisdom and compassion, and what the Bodhisattva engages in this chapter, then, as you'll see from these verses, the Aryadeva is discussing how the Bodhisattva goes about this. There are some wonderful verses in here that have been, become very well known over time. Okay, so we're on verse 107, and it's talking about this. The as you see on page 313, this is sort of like the essential point when it gives these topical headings. They're really saying what is the essential point of this verse. And he's saying, specific merit of causing others to generate the altruistic intention. So it's talking about helping others to train in this, to develop this idea of the spirit of enlightenment. And so if we read what he says, what it says here, the verses were actually written by Aryadeva. There's commentary here written by a Tibetan commentator later on, named Gyaltsep J. So the question is, when it says question here, that's what the commentator is putting. But there's a tradition. It's not just Gyaltsep J sort of going, oh, this must mean this, you know. There's a whole tradition that's handed down from the time of Aryadeva, that this is what I, you know, he explained the verses, and this is what I intended to. And so then the question comes, how much merit is there in inspiring others to develop the altruistic intention of the great vehicle?
You're which on page 137?
No, sorry, we're on 137 now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just at the bottom there. And so then the verse answers that by saying, someone may build a precious reliquary as high as the world. It is said, training others to generate the altruistic intention is more excellent. Here it means, a reliquary here means a stupa, like we were talking about in the middle of our property. We have that monument. I can see it. You can't see it. But, yeah, we have a large monument, and that's a stupa. It's also a reliquary for a sacred, it's a, you know, a place to keep sacred relics. And so then, he's as high as the world, it says. I'm going to look at the Tibetan here. I forget why it says world. As high as the, yeah, it does. Okay. So then it is said training others to generate the altruistic intention is more excellent. So then the commentary on page, so we're talking about a really large stupa is basically you have to, that's what you have to think, that somebody is building this really large stupa. And this, usually when you're taking the Buddha relics and putting them in this monument or this reliquary and building it as an object of worship for others, then there's a tremendous amount of merit that's acquired through that. But usually it has certain limits as to how large it can be. So there's this kind of limit to the size of this stupa. But then the author here is imagining a stupa that's really big, right? It's as large as the world. And so the commentary says, it is said that the merit of one who builds a reliquary for the Buddha's relics, as vast as the 3,000 great thousand world systems, and as high as the world beneath none. Oh, I see. Made of seven precious substances, such as gold and lapis lazuli, and adorned with every kind of ornament, is surpassed, because it is more excellent, by the merit of one who trains others to develop the altruistic intention. Wow, that's a long sentence. The translator did a good job.
That means this is really important, too.
Yeah, well, it's,
treating others is more important than doing all that. Wow.
Yeah. Well, yeah, then it's hard for us to sort of imagine what the, because it's talking about, you know, specific things like the 3,000, the great 1,000 world systems, and means 10 to the 9th power of world systems. That's what, you know, the world system is like our own, so then it's like that many world systems. But if you're people, this is an area of Buddhism you're getting right into, where we're talking about a conception of the universe and or astronomy that's foreign to us, and so we have to have some way of relating it to our own, you know, scientific model of how the universe is constructed. And but it's hard to get a one-to-one correspondence. It's not talking about some other culture that had their own, you know, telescopes and scientists who were looking into space and creating, you know, a whole, you know, system that would then be somewhat comparable, right? And they're talking about an ancient description during the time of the Buddha that was appropriate to the people of that time in that place. The Buddha taught in a way that was appropriate to them. So then, there's a lot to be said about this description of the universe. And I think when we talk about as vast as the 3,000 great 1,000 world systems, now, and it's 10 to the 9th power of world systems, we can just, if that was described to somebody at that time, okay, when they're thinking that their world is, you know, sort of goes up into Asia and doesn't go, you know, then they're not thinking Europe and, you know, it's sort of like greater part of Asia. Then, you know, 10 to the 9th power is like, seems like limitless, you know. It's, and so what you're talking about is just a very limitless description. So you're describing something that's limitless, that's really vast, right? And so then that's how the, you know, the stupa seems in terms of its size, you know, its breadth, right? And then the stupa seems very high, okay, but how high? then we're talking about another description of height that would be unfamiliar to us. And but you sort of have to know something about the Buddhist description, because it has this description of height, okay, in terms of that the universe is all built around this one really large mountain called Mount Meru. And when maybe you picked up on that when we were offering the mandala up in the prayer and meditation, that we're building this mountain, and then there's all these continents around it that inhabited by human beings. And then at the base of the mountain are what we call the demigods. And the demigods I'm wondering if the Skypers here. We have people on Skype, and it looks like it's breaking up. I don't know. Are you there, everybody? The video seems to have gone. No, I don't think they're there.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. What happen? Huh. Let's see. I think maybe the whole computer froze. Which means... Let's see. Which means I have to shut it down somehow.
Or did you just lose your Wi-Fi connection?
No, I think the... That's on. That's Wi-Fi is okay. It's just the whole computer is frozen.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah. Which means I have to remember how to get out of it.
Well, I can't help. It's Mac. On PC. That's a technical term.
Let's listen for that.
That's what I do.
Okay.
We'll try and come back again. Maybe I'll put, they don't need.